This is Robin Hirsch, Minister of Culture, and you are listening to a Cornelia Street Cafe event on WNYC's Talk to Me podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Cornelia Street. This is our umpteenth celebration of the birthday of what's his name? And those of you know, and there seem to be a lot of English people in the audience for some reason, and you all know that there is the Queen's birthday and the Queen's birthday observed. In this case, we celebrate the birthdays of certain major, sometimes less major, poets, and there may or may not be their real birthday, but the birthday observed depends entirely on the Cornelia Street calendar. Tonight, we are celebrating the official birthday, the Cornelia Street Cafe birthday of William Shakespeare. So, welcome to Cornelia Street. It's a privilege to welcome back, obviously, Paul Hecht and Barbara Feldon, and to welcome for the first time Kate Forbes and Andre DeShields. We are in for a treat, not to mention the wonderful Hank Hijink.
Who will believe my verse in time to come if it were filled with your most high deserts? Though yet heaven knows it is but as a tomb which hides your life and shows not half your parts. If I could write the beauty of your eyes and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say this poet lies. Such heavenly touches ne'er touched earthly faces. So should my papers, yellowed with their age, be scorned like old men of less truth than the tongue, and your true rights be termed a poet's rage and stretched meter of an antique song. But were some child of yours alive that time, you should live twice, in it and in my rhyme.
Devouring time, blunt thou the lion's paws and make the earth devour her own sweet brood. Pluck the keen teeth from the fierce tiger's jaws and burn the long-lived phoenix in her blood. Make glad and sorry seasons as thou fleets and do whate'er thou wilt, swift-footed time, for the wide world and all her fading sweets. But I forbid thee one most heinous crime. O, carve not with thy hours my love's fair brow, nor draw no lines there with thine antique pen. Him in thy course untainted do allow for beauty's pattern to succeeding men. Yet do thy worst, old time, despite thy wrong, my love shall in my verse live ever young.
Look in thy glass and tell the face thou viewest. Now is the time that face should form another, whose fresh repair, if now thou not renewest, thou dost beguile the world, unbless some mother. For where is she so fair whose uneared womb disdains the tillage of thy husbandry? Or who is he so fond will be the tomb of his self-love to stop posterity? Thou art thy mother's glass, and she in thee calls back the lovely April of her prime. So thou, through windows of thine age, shalt see, despite of wrinkles, this thy golden time. But if thou live, remembered not to be, die single, and thine image dies with thee.
Mine eye hath played the painter and hath stelled thy beauty's form in table of my heart. My body is the frame wherein 'tis held, and perspective it is best painter's art. For through the painter must you see his skill to find where your true image pictured lies, which in my bosom's shop is hanging still. that hath his windows glazed with thine eyes. Now see what good turns eyes, for eyes have done. Mine eyes have drawn thy shape, and thine for me are windows to my breast, where, through the sun, delights to peep, to gaze therein on thee. Yet eyes this cunning want to grace their art. They draw but what they see, know not the heart.
Oh, that you were yourself! But love, you are no longer yours than yourself here live. Against this coming end, you should prepare. And your sweet semblance to some other give. So should that beauty which you hold in lease find no determination, then you were yourself again after yourself's decease, when your sweet issue your sweet form should bear. Who lets so fair a house fall to decay, which husbandry and honor might uphold, against the stormy gusts of winter's day and barren rage of death's eternal cold? Oh, none but unthrifts. Dear my love, you know you had a father. Let your son say so.
My glass shall not persuade me I am old, so long as youth and thou are of one date. But when in thee time's furrows I behold, then look I death my days should expiate. For all that beauty that doth cover thee is but the seemly raiment of my heart, which in thy breast doth live as thine in me. How can I then be older than thou art? O, therefore, love, be of thyself so wary that I, not for myself but for thee will, bearing thy heart, which I will keep so chary as tender nurse her babe from faring ill. Presume not on thy heart when mine is slain. Thou gavest me thine, not to give back again.
When I do count the clock that tells the time, and see the brave day sunk in hideous night, when I behold the violet past prime, and sable curls all silvered o'er with white, when lofty trees I see barren of leaves, which erst from heat did canopy the herd, and summer's green all girded up in sheaves, borne on the bier with white and bristly beard, then of thy beauty do I question make, that thou among the wastes of time must go, since sweets and beauties do themselves forsake and die as fast as they see others grow, and nothing gainst time's scythe can make defense, save breed, to brave him when he takes thee hence.
As an unperfect actor on the stage, who with his fear is put besides his part, or some fierce thing replete with too much rage, whose strength's abundance weakens his own heart, so I, for fear of trust, forget to say the perfect ceremony of love's rite, and in mine own love's strength seem to decay, or charged with burden of mine own love's might. O let my books be then the eloquence and dumb presagers of my speaking breast, who plead for love and look for recompense more than that tongue that more hath more expressed. O learn to read what silent love hath writ. To hear with eyes belongs to love's fine wit.
Weary with toil, I haste me to my bed, the dear repose for limbs with travel tired. But then begins a journey in my head to work my mind when body's works expired. For then my thoughts from far where I abide intend a zealous pilgrimage to thee, and keep my drooping eyelids open wide, looking on darkness which the blind do see. Save that my soul's imaginary sight presents thy shadow to my sightless view, which, like a jewel hung in ghastly night, makes black night beauteous and her old face new. Lo, thus by day my limbs, by night my mind, for thee and for myself no quiet find.
When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of four bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think of thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.
No more be grieved at that which thou hast done. Roses have thorns, and silver fountains mud. Clouds and eclipses stain both moon and sun, and loathsome canker lives in sweetest bud. All men make faults, and even I in this, authorizing thy trespass with compare, myself corrupting, salving thy amiss, excusing thy sins more than thy sins are. For to thy sensual fault I bring in sense. Thy adverse party is thy advocate, and against myself a lawful plea commence. Such civil war is in my love and hate, that I an accessory needs must be to that sweet thief which sourly robs from me.
Take all my loves, my love, yea, take them all. What hast thou then more than thou hadst before? No love, my love, that thou mayst true love call. All mine was thine before thou hadst this more. Then, if for my love thou my love receivest, I cannot blame thee, for my love thou usest. But yet be blamed, if thou thyself deceivest by willful taste of what thyself refusest. I do forgive thy robbery, gentle thief, although thou steal thee all my poverty. And yet love knows it is a greater grief to bear love's wrong than hate's known injury. Lascivious grace, in whom all ill well shows, kill me with spite, yet we must not be foes.
Betwixt mine eye and heart a league is took, and each doth good turns now unto the other. When that mine eye is famished for a look, or heart in love with sighs himself doth smother, with my love's picture then my eye doth feast, and to the painted banquet bids my heart. Another time mine eye is my heart's guest, and in his thoughts of love doth share a part. So, either by the picture or my love, thyself away art present still with me. For thou not farther than my thoughts canst move, and I am still with them, and they with me. Or if they sleep, thy picture in my sight awakes my heart to heart's and eyes' delight.
Oh, me, what eyes hath love put in my head which have no correspondence with true sight? Or if they have, where is my judgment fled that censors falsely what they see aright? If that be fair whereon my false eyes dote, what means the world to say it is not so? If it be not, then love doth well denote love's eye is not so true as all men's. No, how can it? Oh, how can love's eye be true that is so vexed with watching and with tears? No marvel, then, that I mistake my view. The sun itself sees not till heaven clears. Oh, cunning love, with tears thou keep'st me blind, lest eyes well-seeing thy foul faults should find.
Since brass, nor stone, nor earth, nor boundless sea, but sad mortality o'ersways their power, how with this rage shall beauty hold a plea, whose action is no stronger than a flower? Oh, how shall summer's honey breath hold out against the wrackful siege of battering days, when rocks impregnable are not so stout, nor gates of steel so strong, but time decays? Oh, fearful meditation, where, alack, shall time's best jewel from time's chest lie hid? Or what strong hand can hold his swift foot back, or who his spoil of beauty can forbid? O none, unless this miracle have might, that in black ink my love may still shine bright.
Thank you.
most I wink, then do mine eyes best see. For all the day they view things unrespected. But when I sleep, in dreams they look on thee, and darkly bright are bright in dark directed. Then thou, whose shadow shadows doth make bright, how would thy shadow's form form happy show to the clear day with thy much clearer light, when to unseeing eyes thy shade shines so? How would I say mine eyes be blessed made by looking on thee in the living day, when in dead night thy fair imperfect shade through heavy sleep on sightless eyes doth stay? All days are nights to see till I see thee, and nights bright days when dreams do show thee me.
That time of year thou mayst in me behold, when yellow leaves or none or few do hang upon those boughs which shake against the cold. Bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day as after sunset fadeth in the west, which by and by black night doth take away, death's second self that seals up all in rest. In me thou seest the glowing of such fire that on the ashes of his youth doth lie, as the deathbed whereon it must expire, consumed with that which it was nourished by. This thou perceivest, which makes thy love more strong, to love that well which thou must leave ere long.
Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometime too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines. By chance, or nature's changing course untrimmed, but thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag thou wanderest in his shade, when in eternal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.
Say that thou didst forsake me for some fault, and I will comment upon that offense. Speak of my lameness, and I straight will halt against thy reasons, making no defense. Thou canst not, love, disgrace me half so ill to set a form upon desired change as I'll myself disgrace. Knowing thy will, I will acquaintance strangle and look strange, be absent from thy walks, and in my tongue thy sweet beloved name no more shall dwell, lest I too much profane should do it wrong, and haply of our old acquaintance tell. For thee, against myself I'll vow debate, for I must ne'er love him whom thou dost hate.
Not marble, nor the gilded monuments of princes shall outlive this powerful rhyme. But you shall shine more bright in these contents than unswept stone besmeared with sluttish time. When wasteful war shall statues overturn, and broils root out the work of masonry, nor Mars his sword, nor war's quick fire shall burn the living record of your memory. gainst death and all oblivious enmity shall you pace forth. Your praise shall still find room, even in the eyes of all posterity, that wear this world out to the ending doom. So, till the judgment that yourself arise, you live in this and dwell in lovers' eyes.
When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my soul, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
When, in disgrace, with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, haply I think on thee. And then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with king.
When in disgrace with fortune and men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state, and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries, and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, haply I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising, from sullen earth sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings, that then I scorn to change my state with kings.
When in disgrace with fortune in men's eyes, I all alone beweep my outcast state and trouble deaf heaven with my bootless cries and look upon myself and curse my fate, wishing me like to one more rich in hope, featured like him with friends possessed, desiring this man's art and that man's scope, with what I most enjoy, contented least. Yet in these thoughts, myself almost despising, happily I think on thee, and then my state, like to the lark at break of day arising from sullen earth, sings hymns at heaven's gate. For thy sweet love remembered such wealth brings that then I scorn to change my state with kings. How like a winter hath my absence been from thee, the pleasure of the fleeting year. What freezings have I felt, what dark days seen, what old December's bareness everywhere. And yet this time removed was summer's time, the teeming autumn, big with rich increase, bearing the wanton burden of the prime, like widowed wombs after their lord's decease. Yet this abundant issue seemed to me but hope of orphans, an unfathered fruit. For summer and his pleasures wait on thee, and thou away, the very birds are mute. Or if they sing, 'tis with so dull a cheer that leaves look pale, dreading the winters near.
Farewell. Thou art too dear for my possessing, and like enough thou know'st thy estimate. The charter of thy worth gives thee releasing. My bonds in thee are all determinate. For how do I hold thee but by thy granting? And for that riches, where is my deserving? The cause of this fair gift in me is wanting, and so my patent back again is swerving. Thyself thou gavest, thy own worth then not knowing, or me to whom thou gavest it, else mistaking. So thy great gift, upon misprision growing, comes home again on better judgment making. Thus have I had thee, as a dream doth flatter, in sleep a king, but waking, no such matter.
If there be nothing new, but that which is hath been before, how are our brains beguiled, which, laboring for invention, bear amiss the second burden of a former child. Oh, that record could, with a backward look, even of 500 courses of the sun, show me your image in some antique book, since mind at first in character was done. That I might see what the old world could say to this composed wonder of your frame, whether we are mended, or whether better they, or whether revolution be the same. Oh, sure I am, the wits of former days to subjects worse have given admiring praise.
Like as the waves make towards the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten to their end, each changing place with that which goes before, in sequent toil all forwards do contend. Nativity, once in the mane of light, crawls to maturity, wherewith being crowned, crooked eclipses gainst his glory fight, and time that gave doth now his gift confound. Time doth transfix the flourish set on youth, and delves the parallels in beauty's brow, feeds on the rarities of nature's truth, and nothing stands but for his sieve to mow. And yet to times in hope my verse shall stand, praising thy worth despite his cruel hand.
My love is strengthened, though more weak in seeming. I love not less, though less the show appear. That love is merchandised, whose rich esteeming the owner's tongue doth publish everywhere. Our love was new, and then but in the spring, when I was wont to greet it with my lays, as Philomel in summer's front doth sing, and stops her pipe in growth of riper days. Not that the summer is less pleasant now than when her mournful hymns did hush the night, but that wild music burdens every bough, and sweets grown common lose their dear delight. Therefore, like her, I sometime hold my tongue, because I would not dull you with my song.
is my verse so barren of new pride, so far from variation or quick change? Why with the time do I not glance aside to newfound methods and to compounds strange? Why write I still all one, ever the same, and keep invention in a noted weed, that every word doth almost tell my name, showing their birth and where they did proceed? Oh, no, sweet love, I always write of you, and you and love are still my argument. So all my best is dressing old words new, spending again what is already spent. For as the sun is daily new and old, so is my love still telling what is told.
Whilst I alone did call upon thy aid, my verse alone had all thy gentle grace. But now my gracious numbers are decayed, and my sick muse doth give another place. I grant, sweet love, thy lovely argument deserves the travail of a worthier pen. Yet what of thee thy poet doth invent, he robs thee of and pays it thee again. He lends thee virtue and bestole that word from thy behavior. Beauty doth he give and found it in thy cheek. He can afford no praise to thee, but what in thee doth live. Then thank him not for that which he doth say, since what he owes thee thou thyself dost pay.
Some glory in their birth, some in their skill, some in their wealth, some in their body's force, some in their garments, though new-fangled ill, some in their hawks and hounds, some in their horse. And every humor hath his adjunct pleasure, wherein it finds a joy above the rest. But these particulars are not my measure. All these I better in one general best. Thy love is better than high birth to me, richer than wealth, prouder than garments' cost, of more delight than hawks or horses be. And having thee, of all men's pride I boast, wretched in this alone, that thou mayst take all this away, and me most wretched make.
Lo, as a careful housewife runs to catch one of her feathered creatures broke away, sets down her babe, and makes all quick dispatch in pursuit of the thing that she would have stay, whilst her neglected child holds her in chase, cries to catch her, whose busy care is bent to follow that which flies before her face, not prizing her poor infant's discontent. So runst thou after that which flies from thee, while I, thy babe, chase thee afar behind. But if thou catch thy hope, turn back to me and play the mother's part. Kiss me, be kind. So will I pray that thou mayst have thy will if thou turn back and my loud crying still.
Since I left you, mine eye is in my mind, and that which governs me to go about doth part his function, and is partly blind, seems seeing, but effectually is out. For it no form delivers to the heart of bird, of flower, or shape which it doth latch. Of his quick objects hath the mind no part, nor his own vision holds what it doth catch. For if it see the rudest or gentlest sight, the most sweet favor or deformedest creature, the mountain or the sea, the day or night, the crow or dove, it shapes them to your feature. Incapable of more, replete with you, my most true mind thus maketh mine eye untrue.
They that have the power to hurt, and will do none, that do not do the thing they most do show, who moving others are themselves as stone, unmoved, cold, and to temptation slow, they rightly do inherit heaven's graces, and husband nature's riches from expense. They are the lords and owners of their faces, others but stewards of their excellence. The summer's flower is to the summer sweet, though to itself it only live and die. But if that flower, with base infection, meet the basest weed, outbraves his dignity. For sweetest things turn sourest by their deeds. Lilies that fester smell far worse than we.
The expense of spirit in a waste of shame is lust in action, and till action, lust is perjured, murderous, bloody, full of blame, savage, extreme, rude, cruel, not to trust. Enjoyed no sooner, but despise it straight. Past reason hunted, and no sooner had. Past reason hated, as a swallow's bait. On purpose laid to make the taker mad. Mad in pursuit, and in possession so. Had, having, and in quest to have, extreme. A bliss in proof, and proved a very woe. Before, a joy proposed. Behind a dream. All this the world well knows, yet none knows well, to shun the heaven that leads men to this hell.
Thou blind fool, love, what dost thou to my eyes that they behold and see not what they see? They know what beauty is, see where it lies, yet what is the best is take the worst to be. If eyes corrupt by over-partial looks be anchored in the bay where all men ride, why of eyes falsehood hast thou forged hooks whereto the judgment of my heart is tied? Why should my heart think that a several plot which my heart knows the wide world's commonplace? Or mine eyes, seeing this, say this is not, to put fair truth upon so foul a face. In things right true, my heart and eyes have erred, and to this false plague are they now transferred.
Let me not to the marriage of true minds admit impediments. Love is not love, which alters when it alteration finds, or bends with a remover to remove. Oh, no, It is an ever-fixed mark that looks on tempests and is never shaken. It is the star to every wandering bark whose worth's unknown, although his height be taken. Love's not time's fool, though rosy lips and cheeks within his bending sickle's compass come. Love alters not with his brief hours and weeks, but bears it out even to the edge of doom. If this be error, and upon me proved, I never writ, nor no man ever loved.
To me, fair friend, you never can be old. For as you were when first your eye I eyed, such seems your beauty still. 3 winters cold have from the forest shook 3 summers' pride, 3 beauteous springs to yellow autumn turn. In process of the seasons have I seen 3 April perfumes in 3 hot Junes burned since first I saw you fresh, which yet are green. Ah, yet doth beauty like a dial hand steal from his figure, and no pace perceived. So your sweet hue, which methinks still doth stand, hath motion, and mine eye may be deceived. For fear of which, hear this, thou age unbred, ere you were born, was beauty's summer dead. Loves I have of comfort and despair, which like 2 spirits do suggest me still. The better angel is a man right fair, the worser spirit a woman colored ill. To win me soon to hell, my female evil tempteth my better angel from my side, and would corrupt my saint to be a devil, wooing his purity with her foul pride. And whether that my angel be turned fiend, suspect I may, but not directly tell. But being both from me, both to each friend, I guess 1 angel in another's hell. Yet this shall I ne'er know, but live in doubt, till my bad angel fire my good one out.
No longer mourn for me when I am dead, then you shall hear the surly, sullen bell give warning to the world that I am fled from this vile world with vilest worms to dwell. Nay, if you read this line, remember not the hand that writ it, for I love you so that I in your sweet thoughts would be forgot, if thinking on me then should make you woe. Oh, if I say you look upon this verse when I perhaps compounded am with clay, do not so much as my poor name rehearse, but let your love, even with my life, decay, lest the wise world should look into your moon and mock you with me after I'm gone.
No, time, thou shalt not boast that I do change. Thy pyramids built up with newer might to me are nothing novel, nothing strange. They are but dressings of a former sight. Our dates are brief, and therefore we admire what thou dost foist upon us that is old, and rather make them born to our desire than think that we before have heard them told. Thy registers and thee I both defy, not wondering at the present nor the past, for thy records and what we see doth lie, made more or less by thy continual haste. This I do vow, and this shall ever be. I will be true, despite thy scythe and thee.
Whoever hath her wish, thou hast thy will, and will to boot, and will in overplus. More than enough am I that vex thee still to thy sweet will making addition thus. Wilt thou, whose will is large and spacious, not once vouchsafe to hide my will in thine? Shall will in others seem right gracious, and in my will no fair acceptance shine? The sea, all water, yet receives rain still, and in abundance addeth to his store. So thou, being rich in will, add to thy will one will of mine, to make thy large will more. Let no unkind, no fair beseechers kill. Think all but one, and in that one, will.
If thy soul check thee that I come so near, swear to thy blind soul that I was thy will. And will, thy soul knows, is admitted there. Thus, far for love, my love suit sweet fulfill. Will fulfill the treasure of thy love. I fill it full with wills, and my will won. In things of great receipt, with ease we prove, among a number one is reckoned none. Then, in the number, let me pass untold, though in thy store's account I one must be. For nothing hold me, so it please thee hold that nothing me has something sweet to thee. Make but my name thy love, and love that still, and then thou lovest me, for my name is Will.